Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
It's Monday night. It's 6:31 for those of you guys that care. And where do we begin? Another wild weekend in college football. You know, we saw Syracuse take out a promising UNLV team in overtime. The Arkansas Razorbacks cut Tennessee deep, and the Crimson Tide fell into a trap of Vanderbilt's making. What's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable, or if you prefer, you can just call it Ring Knocker Radio. I'm your host, Rob, in Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Ikebesa in Coastal Connecticut, and Trigger Joe calling from the home of the Big House. And back again to talk about the Navy midshipman is Mark the Witty Mitty. How are we doing, guys? What games did you watch? We'll start with Mark, over to Joe, and then to Dan.
Good to be back, guys. Thanks for having me. Hello, Army fans. Was busy this weekend with some fall baseball and stuff like that, but got to watch the mids. And then after that, watched Vandy and Alabama. Had a great time. And then in some playoff baseball. It was a great weekend.
Awesome. Joe, how about you?
Oh, indeed. What a crazy Saturday it was in college football. I was treated to with the pleasure of SMU beating Louisville at home and breaking up what would have been a $500 parlay winner for me. So thank you, Cardinals. Tulane abused UAB 71-20 and just might be for real. Ashton Gente treated us to another Barry Sanders-like show, which is funny because after five games, he's on pace to break Barry Sanders' single-season record. Maybe it's time to give that kid some Heisman love. We had Tennessee losing unranked Arkansas, which you already said. Minnesota knocked off USC. My Wolverines played QB roulette and lost at Washington, which wasn't surprising. I mean, when you can't throw, defenses play half the field, and it showed. Friday night, what a wild show it was in Vegas when Syracuse came in and did what I thought they would, beat UNLV. I can't believe they were six-point dogs at kickoff. Mm-hmm. Is Indiana for real? The Hoosiers are 6-0. Army's undefeated. Navy's undefeated for the first time since World War II. The Cardiac Canes of Miami treated us to another nail biter as they knocked off Cal 39-38.
Got a little help.
Just what a wild start it's been, man. I absolutely love it. I will say, though, if you have a friend that's a Michigan Wolverine fan that isn't me, you might want to check on them. Let them know this year's our honeymoon. And just remember, we'll always have 2023. It's not cheating when everyone's doing it. I digress.
Awesome. Dano, how about you?
I watched Army on one TV and Navy on the other TV, and I had the third one set on Mizzou at A&M, and honestly, I was so glued to those two TVs, I didn't even notice until like late in the third quarter that one had gotten out of hand. Watched a little bit of Auburn at Georgia, but that also got out of hand. Ditto for Ole Miss at South Carolina. So then I turned on ECU at Charlotte, watched the Pirates self-destruct. Finally gave up, and this is how I ended up watching the second half of Alabama at Vandy. You know, like everybody, because it was on the SEC network, and everybody thought that game was going to suck. Game of the day, though, was Temple at UConn. Like, the freaking Owls of Temple took the most heartbreaking loss I think I have ever seen. They drove down to the one-yard line as time was expiring, and credit to them, they didn't try to kick the field goal and go to overtime. They last play of the game, they try the quarterback sneak to actually win the game in regulation. Quarterback fumbles, UConn linebacker picks it up, rumbles 99 yards in the other direction. Final score is like, it's a 9-point win. I don't know. It's like 11-2, or I forget exactly what the score was, but yeah, crazy 9-point win. And then, yeah, I finished watching the Volunteers just completely self-destruct against Arkansas. Like, put the Yankees on the other screen. Like, I'm not a huge baseball fan, but you got to be kidding me.
Yeah, it is pretty rough. Like, it's pretty crazy for me. I watched Oregon and Michigan State, man. I didn't think that game was going to be pretty, and it wasn't. But, you know, Aiden Childs, man, like that guy, you know, as he matures as a quarterback, I think he's going to turn out to be okay. Like he's got some issues, but a lot of it is because like his receivers couldn't get open and that kind of thing. They hung in there and put some window dressing up in the fourth quarter. And then everybody's asking, are the Ducks for real? You guys know my stance. If you've watched the show or for more than once, those guys will drop one somewhere between week 10 and week 13. We'll be okay. You know? And then of course, shootout in Vegas and with UNLV and Syracuse, man, like what a great game. You know, if you are a Syracuse fan, hey, Kyle McCord found the right place to go. If you're a UNLV fan, you're like, hey, man, somebody give Sluka his money so he can come back because maybe he'll make better decisions. But at the end of the day, you know, watch Army make a case for themselves in the American by crushing, you know, Tulsa. Also watch Navy do their thing. And the scary part of it is like Tulane is trying to make sure that the eyeballs go to them because there's a lot of talk in the American right now about the service academies. Like people are walking up to me like, oh my gosh, Army and Navy are undefeated. This is great for service academy football. And Tulane is like, hey guys, we're over here. We still play football in our program too. And we play these guys tough. And I think the quote of the weekend, and somebody put it in the Firsty Club in the chat, the game day chat was, you know, CBS was covering Navy. And at one point they were like, yeah, Notre Dame is on the schedule and they got both Army and Navy this year. And they're both good, you know? So like in a dream world, you know, Notre Dame splits with the service academies. Don't know who, you know, I think we all know who we'll be partial for, but at the end of the day, like Notre Dame playing a tough Army or a tough Navy team, man, that's an upset in the making, particularly the way that this season has been going.
Yep.
So speaking of things are going, if you're moving somewhere across the country, I've been working on the segues,
Rob.
Segues. All right. So, hey, if you're in the market for a house or your PCS into the Fort Liberty area, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn Bradley. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics. There she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn has an extended network of veteran realtors who can help you if you're moving somewhere else in the country, so she can be your first referral. Like there's a lot of moving services that have references or referrals amongst different parties, but Jocelyn will get you in touch with another veteran that you can trust if she can't help you. She's decided to support us here at Ask for Football this season, and she is the right person to get you into the home of your dreams. I sent her a text earlier this week and it was like, you know, I think that you drink a lot of coffee because you are a closer. I made the Glengarry Glen Ross thing last week, but I have to bring that back up because she's significantly, you know, she will put the foot to the ground and find you a home that you need. So please reach out, go to askforfootball.com, click on her business card on the side, and it'll take her straight to the website. So, Dano, Service Academy standings, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I'm going to run through this, and then we'll kick it over to Mark, because obviously the reason we brought him on was to talk about Navy. But Army is up now 5-0 after beating Tulsa, jumped out to an early lead, and then put the hammer down. Black Knights face a struggling UAB team this week. We're obviously going to talk about that quite a bit on the show tomorrow. Line opened at like minus 18. Now, last I looked, it was like minus 26. It's just nuts. Black Knights are receiving votes in the AP and the coaches poll. AP, they got 33 votes, good for 29th. Coaches poll has them with 36 votes, good for 28th. SP Plus has them at 69th at plus 2.4 points. And ESPN's Football Power Index has them at 59th at plus 3.4 points. So remember all those numbers because we're coming back to that. Navy jumped on Air Force and never looked back. Honestly, the Zoomies, I don't want to say I'm disappointed because those guys can get bent, but they didn't show up. And I thought that defense would at least do something a little bit more impressive than what they did. Blake Horvath continues to impress, put up almost 300 yards of total offense and two touchdowns. Navy defense forced two fumbles, got a pick, forced the Zoomies to punt six times. I mean, the only thing left for these guys to do is to pitch a shutout. Mids are also receiving votes in the polls. So they've got 43 votes in the AP poll, good for 28th. 26 votes in the coaches poll, good for 29th. SP Plus has them at 60th at plus 1.6 points. And FPI has them at 69th, right at even. So basically, the AP has them ahead of Army, and everybody else has them about somewhere between 1 and 10 places behind the Black Knights. So for those tracking, Army Navy is a year-long contest for reputational supremacy. This is where we are, right? And then Air Force got whooped by the Mids, put up all of 273 yards of total offense, went just a miserable 3 of 13 on third down, 1 of 30 on fourth down, no turnovers, gave the ball up on a single interception, fumbled twice. Like, in Academy football, one of these things is not like the others. If you're an Air Force fan, it's probably your turn to have a year like this, if we're being honest. Not sure what Coach Calhoun is going to do from here, but this is probably the worst press he's ever got out in Colorado right now. Like, people were wondering if he's got answers. I know there's more to the story, but at any rate, Mark, I will shut up. Why don't you tell us what you saw?
Yeah, you called it. I mean, you know, backing up a little midseason checkup on the mids. Like, last time I was on, I said we're kind of in a little bit of a wait and see posture, and it's just been all fireworks from here. And it starts with the offense. You know, what you're seeing is Navy has not 100% switched over to the wing T. They've stuck there. They're running a lot of sets out of the flex bone. They're running plenty of triple option out of the flex bone.
Yeah.
And Navy fans are, you know, we're fans. I'm not a former player. I'm not a coach, but we're almost romanticizing that. There's a really good, agreement, you know, really good, conversation going on between Ivan Jasper, our former offensive coordinator, and Drew Kronick, our new offensive coordinator. Ivan Jasper, of course, was a longtime offensive coordinator and won a lot of games against Army, because there's a lot of things happening out of the flex bone set. And then Drew Kronick has come in and installed some wing T sets as well, which they mostly run out of the shotgun. Mm-hmm. The thing that has just been incredible, and watching the Memphis game especially, is I'm just like, the ball can go anywhere.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, watching the teams in the AAC last year have, you know, folks in the defensive backfield sprinting to the play side. You got the safety following motion. And, you know, Mike James of the Mid Report, he's on rivals.com. He does a lot of cut-ups for Navy football. He said it well. He said, you know, last year you're watching the game thinking, here comes some counter. Here comes, we're going to attack the weak side now. And it just never really seemed to happen. Whereas this year, Kronick can attack on any down and distance. He will run any play on any down and distance. They're watching every player in the defensive backfield to see who's leaning, to see who's cheating a little bit, and they will go after him with a pretty good specialty player. But I think you also have to give a lot of credit to the offensive line that's playing really, really well this year. And quarterback play has been great. I think that quarterback play is always overstated. But, I mean, Blake Horvath, he's been lights out. And, you know, I think that one thing that – a couple things that I don't know how you guys feel about this, a couple things. Number one, how many seasons have Army and Navy gone without at least a single game injury to their primary quarterback? It can't be more than 50%. Like, typically the quarterback gets banged up and is out for a single game. And so I think the way the whole system is working and the way the backups play is probably still going to be important in the second half of the season to one or both of the teams, because typically one of them will miss a game. And so that's something that I think I'm kind of looking out for and hoping that we can survive. But just a couple of thoughts on the AAC, and then I'll shut up. First is the question that I have: these bottom tier teams in the AAC that have had a rough season, like Rice and UAB, are we seeing a competitive advantage for Army and Navy that have a developmental program where kids stay in the program for 4 years, whereas those teams are trying to put together teams year after year? Are we seeing that? And is the bottom of the AAC actually worse than it was in previous seasons? If you look at some ratings, you've got the teams that Army and Navy have beat up on, with the exception of Memphis. They are way down at the bottom of college football.
Yeah,
and so sure. I'm not really sure that either team has really been tested. And it's hard to say what you're going to see in the second half of the season if the Mean Green keep playing well in North Texas. And, of course, Navy has Tulane that you've already mentioned. Tulane looks to be really, really good. And then both teams have Notre Dame. So I am still – you know, enjoying the heck out of the season, as you guys should be. Army's killing people. Navy's killing people. These games are over in the third quarter. But as you watch the games play out, you still watch these teams like Rice and Temple and UAB, and you wonder, like, okay, should we really believe what we see, or should we hold our breath for a couple games in the second half? I think we have some close games coming up in the conference.
So I definitely agree with you on that. We've talked about that on this show, and it came up after the FAU game because, you know, the Florida Atlantic coaching staff basically said, listen, it's a new team and these guys don't really know each other. You know, we caught you the second game of the season. If we'd caught you in November, it would have been a different story. Now, you know, FAU has kind of gotten beat up a little bit, and who knows if they're going to make good on that, but I believe them. I believe that they have talent on that team. The one that I don't understand is Rice, because Rice had everybody back. You know, that's a good coaching staff, and there you look awful. And but you can see Temple coming around. Like, that's a better team than they were when they played you guys already. You know, UConn is good, and Temple really played well, and they had Forrest Brock in there, and you know, he's not that great. One other thing I want to say about your offense, and we said this already on the show, but just to you to get your thoughts on it, like y'all are running a decent amount of Brent Davis's favorite plays. I mean, I have never seen Navy uses their fullbacks as much as they are this year. Yes or no?
Yeah. I mean, I think that's true. And I think that's where our athletes are. And we're getting the ball to Alex Texan and Dabo Fofana. These guys are yeah. really good athletes, but yeah. I think that, you know, that the, what we set up really gives them a lot of room and a lot of space because you, yeah. you have to keep, you know, the linebackers and the defensive backs are definitely on their heels watching out for some of our special players. I mean, you look at the game that Heidenreich had last yeah, week
for sure.
and yeah. he's quite an athlete as well, but I think it just has everything to do with coaches putting people in great positions on yeah. any down and distance. You got no idea what's coming, and some speed on the outside as well. And I didn't talk enough about the Air Force game. I mean, did we enjoy that? Of course we enjoyed that. Like, we put up numbers that for that series were absolutely just preposterous. And then doing that in Colorado Springs, I think just like, you know, look, we Navy lived it with some, you know, a lot of underclassmen playing up on their roster, not some super strong senior classes through 2020, 2021, 2022. Air Force is probably dealing with some of the fallout of what they had with heavy senior classes, a lot of them who are turnbacks. I don't feel bad for them because, you know, that defense is going to know either offensive set that we have. They're going to know well enough that most of those defenders are going to be in position. And I think you just saw people beating. I think he's on Navy players beating Air Force players one on one, like all afternoon, which it wasn't quite like what you see when Army and Navy are playing these other teams that aren't quite ready. And there's a lot of folks that are wide open. So it almost made it even more impressive for a series like that we're just beating them physically. So we definitely enjoyed it and don't want to forget to mention that.
I don't put a lot of stock into this idea that, oh, it's all the turnbacks. I mean, it definitely is all the turnbacks, but like Army only had three players return on their defense. And I don't know if you noticed, but Army's defense is pretty good. That's about the same number of returning players on each defense. So, I mean, understand that the Black Knights are getting more help from their offense, but come on, man.
I don't want to even ask the question. I don't want to track it, but I just wonder about their transfers. You know what I mean? I wonder if they have a lot of upperclassmen, but they had a lot of kids transfer when they saw the turnbacks were coming and maybe they were going to lose a season of playing because these seniors were going to be there another year. Like, I don't know.
It's an interesting question.
Yeah. Well, don't care.
Well, don't the care. Other part, well, the biggest thing that I will say about Air Force period is like watching that game, like their offensive backfield was like a bunch of tackling dummies, man. They would get hit and they would immediately go down. There was like no second effort. Nobody's trying to take a move. There's no, you know, no jump cuts, no spins, no shoulders being dropped. It literally was you made contact and they hit the turf. And as a coach, you know, that has to be infuriating because like what you want is, you know, I'm willing to take a guy that fumbles because he's given a second or third effort to try and make something happen. You know, the team is already bad. If I fumble because, you know, one guy's like nose down trying to make a play happen, that's acceptable. But like the entire Air Force backfield, they got touched and it was like a flag football game or two-hand tag. Like you got touched by the defensive player and they just stopped. And like that was the most damaging thing that I saw watching the game. It wasn't the fact that like Navy was in position. Yes, that's absolutely that's a coaching advantage. But when it came to the play on the field, Air Force never got it going because they weren't trying. It's like they started phoning it in. They were like, hey, we're going to jump on these dudes early like we always do. And then, you know, we're just going to cruise to victory. And when they got socked in the mouth, it's like the whole team quit. Like you just watched the entire amount of momentum in that organization just go away after like the second touchdown. And I'm like, am I watching a Service Academy game? Because that's not what we normally get. You know, when any of the Service Academies play, it's a lot gritty. It's a lot tougher. Like, hey, it might be a 17-14 game, but at the end of the day, like all you hear is pads clicking because the kids are hitting the crap out of each other trying to win that game. Joe, you had a point. Mm-hmm.
There's something too that, I mean, I used to sneak into the Air Force Chow Hall all the time and it did not scream perseverance to me. That's all I'm It didn't exactly have 3 yards in a cloud of dust painted on the wall. Okay. And by the way, Horvath could start from Michigan. That has a lot to do with it because I watched him drop a couple of absolute dimes and I was like, that may be one of the best throws I've seen a Navy quarterback make in 10 years.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they watched the replay 3 or 4 times and I was like, forget about him getting 2 feet in. He just dropped that thing in a bucket. He's playing really well. So,
yeah. And we got a question in the chat. I believe Army was supposed to play UNLV this season, and I'm not sure if the Syracuse series continued, but I know that that was one of the things that somebody asked in the chat, like, hey, look, is Army supposed to play UNLV? I believe they were until the changeover to the AAC. And then, of course, you know, Army at Syracuse, they hadn't played in 30 years. They played last year. I think there was a design to do another, like, home and home with those guys, and then the AAC announcement happened. And again, as a true hardcore Army fan, like, playing Syracuse in the dome is always cool, you know, and the first time we did it, you know, there was a quarterback there, you may know him, he was pretty good, his name was Donovan McNabb. Yeah. And then, you know, last year's game. So I think there's a lot to be said about, you know, there's unfortunate things about the whole conference realignment, and we talk about that all the time, like games that probably would have been magical, particularly this season, not happening because of that. And then we're all making adjustments based off of that. But
hey, Rob,
go ahead.
Give me Army at Ball State as a Navy fan. I'll take that every year.
Yeah, right. I think everybody, I think that is a,
I like that game.
I think that's a very informal rivalry. I'm you know,
all good yeah. with that game. We could listen. This was the best thing about bringing Air Force into the American Conference was the fact that we free up a game to put Ball State or Buffalo back on the schedule.
Like, right. Give me some midweek MAC.
Yeah.
I live about 15 minutes from like three MAC schools. Just give me a MAC game.
Yeah, that'd be legit. And you know, as always, Muncie, Indiana is known for, you know, Bob Ross. No,
all things
no
Navy, mistakes, obviously.
Just happy accidents, right? Like, so, happy trees, happy trees. All right, Dano, back to you for the
non-FBS service academies. The Coasties won a close matchup against the mighty MIT. MIT, yeah. What are they? Engineers?
They're Beavers, actually.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
I looked it up.
21-19. Coasties are currently sitting 3-2. They take on Salve Regina in 2 weeks at home in New London. Considering that Salve Regina just beat Merchant Marine Academy, I'm going to guess that they're also going to beat Coast Guard. Merchant Marine Academy is now 3-1. They take on MIT in Cambridge this Saturday. You can watch that one on Flow Sports if you have a subscription. And yeah, man, that's it. We took the long way around, but here we are.
Yeah, here we go. So around the American, of course, the game of the week. There's two decent matchups in the conference this week. So we're going to give you a bonus one because Friday, of course, is going to happen. So you've got Memphis at USF playing on Friday night. I think that'll be a sleeper game. USF, man, they're streaky. They are not a second half team. But if they jump out on Memphis early, that could be a pretty decent contest because, you know, USF plays pretty strong in the first half. Halftime adjustments they have not been great with, but they've also had some pretty stiff competition early this season. So it'll be interesting to see as we get into, you know, the rest of the season, you know. And then of course Army taking on UAB. It's a cheap plug for the Army football show. We're not going to deep dive that any further. So check us out tomorrow night on the Army football show. Other games of note, you know, 2-3 FAU travels to Denton, Texas to take on the Mean Green. Hey, maybe FAU gets it together, but like North Texas is a tough team. Like every time anybody plays them, I think, you know, the Mean Green is legit trying to make a statement for like some postseason honors, as well as like the tip of the cap for those guys who've been busting their butt all season. And then you got 2-3 UTSA taking on a 1-4 Rice team. And again, that's basically a home game for both teams. That's a home and home just because of proximity. But like, is EJ Warner ever going to put it together? I mean, the guy was a very, very talented dude last year. He looked good on a losing team, and now it's even worse for him. You know, like it's tough to see how that guy's going to end up, you know, given the fact that he's been playing on a super, super hard, you know, hard schedule, but like he's QB1, man. And like the expectation is for him to be able to open the offense up and pass.
I feel like some of these American teams towards the top of the conference are starting to send statements to each other. Like Tulane beating up, you know, dropping 71 points last week on UAB. That was like a shot across the bow, right? And I'm sort of expecting Coach Munkin to fire one back this Saturday against UAB. And the other team that I think might shoot one across the bow is Memphis. If they can drop 50 on USF, that's absolutely going to happen because they got to make a statement like time now.
Yeah, I think sadly right now all the talk in the American is service academies. That's why when the rumor of, hey, we're going to bring Air Force in got a lot of traction just because of the performance that Army and Navy is having right now. And they're like, hey, look, maybe Air Force could turn it around as a team in the American. Who knows? You know, Army's new. They're doing, you know, they're doing well. Navy's been in the conference for a while. They're doing well. So maybe there's hope and, you know, there's some wiggle room for improvement there. All right. Other than that, let's move over to Joe for the top 10 recap.
All right, we got a new number one, and it is the Texas Longhorns. They the Longhorns benefit from a loss above them in the rankings as they were off, but bump up one spot to the tops, or to the top spot. They travel to Oklahoma Saturday for the Red River Shootout, and I'm not calling it the Red River Rivalry because that's a tongue twister, and Shootout was just fine with everybody. They didn't need to change it. All right, number two is the Ohio State Buckeyes. They bump up a spot. The Buckeyes move up one as they handled the Hawkeyes in Iowa, or in Columbus, 35-7. And somebody's O has to go next week as the Buckeyes travel to Eugene for their inaugural Big Ten matchup with the Ducks. Speaking of the Ducks, they are the number three team in the country. Oregon bumps up three spots. They look like a grizzly bear playing with salmon in the stream with Sparty, getting smacked around 31-10. Get ready for the Buckeyes, though, because they are coming to town on Saturday. And as a Michigan fan, I've got the Buckeyes winning that game. Number four is Penn State. They move up three spots as the Nittany Lions had a decent performance against a pretty bad UCLA Bruins team, 27-11, if I could read my typos. And they bump up. Thanks to Alabama's loss. Penn State travels to Southern Cal on Saturday. Georgia had no change as the Bulldogs made light work of Auburn, winning 31-13. It's going to be Bulldog-on-Bulldog violence as they travel to Mississippi State next week. number six is Miami. They bump up two spots, the Cardiac Canes, as they win another nail-biter on the road, 39-38 over Cal. Miami has a well-deserved Saturday off before traveling to Louisville on the 19th. Number seven is the Alabama Crimson Tide, and who could forget what they did on Saturday? The Tide drops six spots as they go to unranked Vanderbilt, who is 2-2, and lose 40-35. Boo friggity hoo, you guys have won 19,000 national titles, you'll live. I wouldn't want to be the Gamecocks of South Carolina next week because that's who's coming to Tuscaloosa on Saturday. Number eight, Tennessee, as they drop a tough one to the Razorbacks of Arkansas, 19-14. Tennessee plays Florida next week. Is that the one they call the biggest cocktail party in the country?
I think so.
Yeah,
no, that's
a lot more 10 years ago. But
that's Georgia.
Okay, all right. I'm sure there'll be booze at both. number nine is Ole Miss. They bump up three spots. The Rebels are back in the top 10 as they had a solid win on the road at South Carolina, 27-3. Ole Miss travels to LSU on Saturday for what should be a great matchup. Number 10, we got Clemson up five spots, and they are back in the top 10 as they go to Tallahassee and that dumpster fire and beat Florida State 29-13. Will they Clemson or will they stay? The Tigers travel to Wake Forest on Saturday.
Yeah.
I think Go ahead, Rob.
I was just going to say, I think that they might survive a little bit longer. I mean, it's Clemson, man. Like,
they play Miami? Miami is, yeah. I mean, the best team in that conference, for better or worse.
Yeah. Klubnik is playing like, he wants to actually win a national championship. I don't know if they can, but like Cade Klubnik is playing like pretty good football right now. He's one of the quarterbacks to watch. So if you go back and watch his highlights from this past weekend, he showed up, which is pretty impressive.
All right. Speaking of people, I gotta be honest, I haven't been following Clemson. So, okay.
Yeah. So for people that haven't, speaking of not showing up, we've got 31 top 25 losses so far this season. Notable losses this week, of course, we noted UNLV losing to Syracuse 44-41 in overtime last Friday. Bama got upended by Vandy in the, you know, poster child of a trap game. Like, you should just hang that poster on your wall for the next 365 days because that is ideal. Beat Georgia and then lose to a team that they certainly shouldn't have lost to, 40-35. As mentioned, Razorbacks got undercut Tennessee. They're going to be looking for a goalpost repair program because they ripped those things down at the end of the game. Number 21, Mizzou had one of the steepest fall in the top 10 this season after losing to then ranked number 25 Texas A&M, much to the delight of Johnny Football. Michigan fell out of the top 10 after losing to Washington in the logo rematch of the 2023 championship. I mean, they're not the same teams. I think that's not a fair comparison. I know a lot of the sports writers were saying, well, it's a rematch of the national championship last year. Michigan is not the same team, of course. You know, coaching staff is significant changeover at Washington. I think ultimately at the end of the day, it was a football contest that is still kind of a little weird because Michigan had to go all the way out to the left coast for that game. USC got the boot out of the top 25. How about that, man? PJ Fleck rode the boat on those cats and took them out at 14 unanswered points in the fourth quarter to win the game. You know, tip of the cap to the Golden Gophers, man. Like, as much as look, I'm not a Golden Gophers fan, but I do like PJ Fleck as a coach because, like, he is a classy dude. He comes in with the sweater vest and the tie, you know, and he makes it look like he's super professional. And, you know, Minnesota works their butt off every year, and, you know, it always seems like they're just a couple plays away from a much, much better season. And this time it worked out for them, particularly against USC. And I do not mind watching those guys go packing. And of course, you know, number 22 Louisville cost people a lot of money because I also lost on a 5-game parlay with that loss this weekend, 27-44 or 27-34, son of a gun. I legitimately do not think that we've seen the carnage at the top 25 at all. It's not ending. Like, we are, you know, 7 weeks into the college football season and it's already a slaughter. Like, we're going to be closer to 70 or 80, like, flip-flopping games. And then the real concern is, for me, at least as a fan, are we going to have any undefeated teams going into the 12-team playoff? Is that even possible? Can anybody run the table with conference realignment the way things are going? Like, at the beginning of the season, you know, there's a certain group of folks on the ESPN that were saying, like, Oregon's going to win the national championship. Like, if you simulated the college football 25 before the last couple patches, actually the team that won the national championship was NC State. So, you know, the video game got it wrong. The experts allegedly got it wrong. And I think, you know, Oregon does have a chance to beat Ohio State just based off of history. The last time the Ducks got one over on Ohio State, it was at home. You know, so Buckeyes on the road to Oregon. Like, not saying that that's a setup. It's a completely different team. But, you know, the last time history happened, it was when, you know, the Ducks beat Ohio State out at their place. And I think that was kind of a revenge for the bowl game a few years back. Dano, you got something?
Yeah, Texas is at or playing Oklahoma. That's always a neutral site game this Saturday. Correct. Then on the 19th, they have Georgia. If they can get through Georgia, probably the last big test of the season is the last game at number 15, Texas A&M. Texas probably got the best chance to take that number one seed, I think, from where we're sitting right this instant. I mean,
yeah, I think that's fair.
If they beat Georgia, obviously, which is a pretty big if.
I think if Ohio State wins on Saturday, they have the easiest path. I hate to say it as a Michigan fan, but we haven't mentioned the Buckeyes, and they're loaded. And they are on a 3-year revenge tour against Michigan. I fully expect them to win that game this year. And I think they get it done. It's just, I've watched Ohio State. I've watched Oregon, and Oregon hasn't been consistently dominant. And I know Ohio State played a soft schedule, but they just made mincemeat of Iowa, who's usually a somewhat of a tough team. And if they get through Oregon, I don't see them having opposition that can knock them off if they play them.
It does seem like they beat the stuffing out of Penn State every single year, but Penn State is the fourth ranked team in the country. And I don't know if you believe in change. I don't know if I believe in change, but that's another substantial test. I mean, you're not wrong, Joe, but I'm just saying.
You're right. I think Penn State's their biggest test after Oregon. I think Penn State's obviously better than Michigan, but I do think they're a little, just a touch overrated. They should be in the top 10. I just don't think they're number 4 in the country.
Well, where's that game this year? Where's Penn State, Ohio State?
That's a good question.
At Penn State.
If it's Happy Valley in a whiteout game,
it'll be a one-score game.
Yeah. History repeats itself. Not that we want it to happen as an Ohio State fan, but the reality of it is like, you know, Ohio State on the road in like crazy fan conditions, like that usually sets them up for a weird game, you know? So we'll see about that. And speaking of not getting it done, Joe, we're going to pass it over to you to the Blue Falcon of the week.
All right. Full disclosure before I say this, I don't like dogpiling on a college kid, but every once in a while they make it easy for you. So this was another easy Blue Falcon of the week reveal. Malachi Moore of Alabama. This bud's for you. You're the pick for my Blue Falcon this week. First of all, you're a defensive captain. and you're 23 years old and you play for Alabama, you're expected to be a leader, to lead by example. And you, I don't believe that you did. I've always said that you can tell a lot about somebody by the way they take a loss. And boy, was your integrity or lack thereof on Front Street this Saturday against Vanderbilt. Not only did you have a hey, look at me moment when you were punching your helmet and throwing your mouthpiece while the Commodores were in victory formation, but you actually kicked a ball almost as it was being placed on the ground and officially spotted by the referee. Then to top it off and show everyone that you have no idea how to be the nail instead of the hammer, you waved off the player being subbed in for you by your coach and effectively told the nation you have no respect for your defensive coordinator or your head coach. If you're not happy that Nick Saban retired today, you should be, because your playing time along with your scholarship could be in jeopardy for stuff like that if he was still at the helm. It takes a man to have dignity in defeat, and that's something that you apparently have not quite learned yet. Alabama has to lose every once in a while too, you know. But as far as Saturday goes, I believe you embarrassed yourself a little bit. You embarrassed your coaches. And more importantly, you probably embarrassed your brothers and your teammates while wearing a captain's star. Malachi Moore, do better. I believe that you probably can. But until then, come collect your award because you're this week's Blue Falcon.
Nice. Thank you, Joe. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is, man. Like sometimes
bad enough that you lose them, you know. Don't add to it, you know.
Don't make it worse by piling on some shenanigans. All right, so the topic this week is best team by conference. Now, I have to caveat this for all the freaking fans out there because people are going to lose their effing minds as I say this. This is purely based off of conference record. It is not like the eye test. It's no significant analytics. I'm not pulling through a database of all this different crazy shenanigans to come up with this. I am just writing this, and I can tell you, I can assure you right now, Mark is shaking his head no already because, you know, the American is up for debate just based off of overall performance between Army and Navy. I think consensusly we can say a Service Academy is the top team in the American Conference, but it's arguable depending upon which fan base you follow, which one of those teams that you're pulling for. But Dano, run down the slate.
Listen, you've got Army listed alphabetically first, and the Black Knights do have the most conference wins just based on the way that the schedule has come out. But I mean, I don't know, man, that almost goes into the realm of rat poison. So I'm happy to let Mark disagree with that one. In the ACC, I think that's nuts too, man. It's purely
based off of conference records. And that's why we're having the discussion, because the reality of it is conference record does not indicate how well the team has been playing, for sure.
I mean, all right. Big 12, Texas Tech. I am not following the Big 12, so I couldn't say. In the Pac 12, you've got Oregon State. So that's me.
Yeah. I'll give you that one. You're number one of two. Right, good job, guys.
I'll give you those two, but. Tulane dropped 71 points on Saturday. That is a lot of points.
And what are
the tiebreakers?
And that is their argument for like, hey, we're one of the better teams in this conference. But if you're looking purely
a poignant argument.
Yes.
With style and aplomb.
for sure. Joe, what do you got? And I know you're going to have our issue with this because you are the Big Ten aficionado, but by conference ranking, it's the Hoosiers.
Yeah, and I could see them having the best season they possibly could and finishing second. But right now I've got Ohio State as the number one team, and until somebody beats them, that my mom retired from Michigan, okay? So I'm being very objective here. I do believe they're the best team in the Big Ten. I think Bowling Green has more talent than EMU and the MAC, but there's a ton of 1-0 teams. I mean, for crying out loud, Northern Illinois doesn't have a win, and they beat Notre Dame. So,
yeah,
tough to tell. I do think Liberty's at the top of USA, and you know, possibly Sam Houston State might have something to say about that.
That's true.
They've looked really good. And then, what other one did you give? The SEC. It's Tech. To me, it's Texas.
Yeah,
but that could be Alabama. It could be Georgia.
And again, I had to lead with the caveat of
changes throughout the season, you know.
Yeah, overall conference
record. It's like asking for the wrath of the football gods listed some of this out, man.
Well, it's like Mark said about the starting quarterback situation for the service academies. Somebody big goes down in the SEC. Hendon Hooker goes down. You know, I mean, think about Tennessee with Hendon Hooker. Well, I mean, they could have won it all.
Yeah. Well, think about Fayetteville State, Florida State last year, right? When their quarterback went out, that completely ruined their opportunity to go to the playoff. You know, so yeah, players matter.
I mean, but they followed that up by proving everyone correct to leave them out. Right.
Yeah, more. That, yeah, like fair point. They stunk it up. So leading in the independents, of course, is Notre Dame. They have the best record. Mountain West is San Jose State, and I'm all for that, man. Coach Ken, hey, you know,
he said it.
You know,
thank Ken. Thank you.
Yeah. Give Coach Ken his props, man. Like I think he's always been a good coach. I think the turnaround at Navy is, you know, I'm gonna not have as deep a rant as Jordan. But I am going to say Chet actually did exactly what he was going to do, because when you think about it, Coach Ken said, like, if I don't have a winning season 2023, you could fire me. Right. He said that. And so, like, it's played out almost exactly the way that Ken said it would. You know, hey, look, we're going to turn this around. You still have players in development. And now look at Navy this season. You know, so like knowing your players and knowing your team, Coach Ken probably knew that was kind of the glide path that they were on. And, you know, Chet cut him off in 2022, because I think anybody that's been around Navy football or Navy football fans knows that, you know, that pendulum is eventually going to swing back. And like it shows this season, you know, like I said, like there's graphics all over the socials about like, this is the first time since 1945 that both service academy, you know, and like it's a big deal. Like I got people walking up to me like, yeah, man, Army's undefeated. Navy's undefeated. This is going to be great. And it's like, hey man, we're, you know, all that being said. And that's why like this whole topic is like kind of sort of fluff. And to be honest, because like, guess what? We're only in week 7. Like things will change, you know, it's college football. Look at what happened. Like would anybody would have expected this early in the season that Alabama and Georgia would have had a loss apiece? No, not even, right? It happens. It's college football. And of course, wrapping it up, and we'll round it out and then kick it over to Dan for the next commercial, is the Sun Belt. So University of Louisiana Monroe, again, another tough team. Those guys are streaky at best. I don't think that they will be on top of the division towards the end, because they still got Troy to play, but Troy is not as good as they were a couple years ago. I think Texas State is decent as well. So there's some interesting players. And then, you know, it's college football, man. Like this is like etched in mud. Like it lasts from week to week, you know, performances being what they are. And like I said, if you're an American Conference fan, like watch out, dude, like Tulane is coming. North Texas is coming. If you have those guys on your schedule, you best start watching film and figure out what your scheme is going to be, because those guys are going to bring it, because they always Memphis. Do, particularly against, you know, Army, particularly against Army and Navy. Like Memphis and Navy is always going to be a slobber knocker. Army and North Texas, always a slobber knocker. Army and Tulane, always a slobber knocker. Those are going to be tough, physical, you know, moderate to high scoring games, because the teams put it on each other every time they meet on the field. And speaking of meeting, we got a person that we need you to meet to get your next mortgage. Throwing it over to Dan.
Craig Oxane sponsors this podcast. He is the Vice President of Residential Lending for New American Funding in Chicago. He's a member of the West Point class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. Friends, Craig is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country because he offers you super competitive rates, because he gives you first-class service, and because he does not charge lending fees for veterans, which is a huge savings, like $1,300. $1,300, get that money. And I don't know if you guys have bought a house, but buying a house is a freaking confusing process. You know, rates are moving all over the place. You're trying to figure out what you want to do. And it's just not the time to work with some clown who wants to make a buck off you, like some call center, random big box bank, mindless website. Like you want to work with a person you can call on the phone, especially when you're talking about one of the biggest purchases you're ever going to make in your entire life. So Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending, check him out. His link's on our website. Go to askforfootball.com. He's got a little business card there. Click that, fill out the little questionnaire. You'll be talking to him and like not an AI assistant, but actually Craig in a couple of hours.
Thanks, Dan. Let's move on to the games of the week. Hey, we got college football on Tuesday, y'all. So if you are a college football fan, get ready, because it's coming early this week. So you got FIU at Liberty. That game kicks at 7 on CBS Sports Network. Liberty is legitimately good-ish. You know, they usually fall apart in the postseason. Like they got rolled last year, was it by Sam Houston State in the bowl game, which was a surprise. But That game kicks off at 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. We got football on Wednesday. Wednesday got New Mexico State and Jacksonville State. That should be an interesting contest. Jacksonville State is, you know, on the way up as a FBS program. Check those guys out if you need to. Thursday night, you got Coastal and JMU. JMU, like, they're legitimately a good team. You got Middle Tennessee State, Louisiana Tech, UTEP, and Western Kentucky rounding out the Thursday night slate. Friday night on the 11th, you've got Memphis at USF. That'll be a good game. I think everybody that's an American fan is going to be watching that, but we're going to see, you know, really what goes on there. Northwestern Maryland on at Fox. That's a Big Ten matchup. And then, you know, number 18, Utah at Arizona State. That's all on Friday night. Early games on Saturday, you got Washington at Iowa. All right, so Washington's going to get their first dose of the you know, the celebration in the third quarter. And like I said, like, if you are an emotional person, like, I don't know how you could not wave to a bunch of kids at a children's hospital and keep your focus on a football game. I mean, Iowa does it quite often because it's their home turf, but I have seen more than one team get caught up in their feels after that happens. And they do it intentionally, I swear, to throw the other team off. But, you know, it's a good thing to do. Moving on, we got South Carolina at Alabama. That's going to be on ESPN Plus and ABC, which is just wild to me. Clemson at Wake kicks at noon. Georgia Tech at North Carolina. Hey, I will probably be watching this game because I want to see if Georgia Tech can put it together. Like, look, UNC is terrible, man. Like, I know people that are basically hung up their Carolina blue until basketball season because UNC is not doing well. And I think Georgia Tech is like the right kind of recipe to come down, you know, to come to their place and beat them at home. I mean, I think that's a fair game. I like Georgia Tech's quarterback. They have some decent weapons on the offense, and I think that'll be a more compelling matchup than we think. You got UAB at Army. That kicks at noon. Again, you know, sorry, Blazers. Trent Dilfer, start working on that resume, man. Like, I think Coach Monken is going to put it to him. It's a home game at Mikey Stadium. Like, sorry, bro. I mean, that's just kind of the way things go. And, like, if you're looking at all the prognosticators, they're like, it's like a 92% chance that Army wins. So the upside for UAB is they have absolutely nothing to lose, and this is an ideal trap game. You're coming off of, you know, a semi-tough opponent the previous week, a team that you should beat. This is a recipe for, you know, not playing well. I don't see that happening this season with Army. I think the preparation is going to be more than what they can handle, and I think the depth chart is going to get them. Moving on, you got Penn State at USC in the early afternoon kicks at 3:30. That should be an interesting game just because Penn State is ranked number four. They're going to try and keep their spot. They're traveling out to Cali for that game. USC, again, like, they actually have a defense this season, which is pretty impressive. You know, it's not great, but it's better than it was last year because they're not letting opponents score 45 or 50 points and trying to race to 60. So it'll be an interesting contest to see, you know, whose defense actually rises to the occasion and puts the stamp on it. You've got Texas and Oklahoma in Dallas for the Red River Shootout. You got a note, Mark?
Don't sleep on that ACC classic matchup, Cal at undefeated Pitt. I have a feeling that one's going to be crazy.
Yeah, I think that one will be a good one.
I mean, Pitt is like must-see TV this year.
Yeah, they're actually a really good team.
I got to put that on. I have not watched them play one time. That's
Cal did not flinch against Miami. They darn near got it done.
That's true. And that's the thing. So that's a crazy ACC matchup now. And you know, Pitt's one of those teams that, like, growing up in high school, Western PA, you know, like, we used to watch them all the time. And so they've always had, like, a squad. And this year they actually have a squad that can play some ball. So it'll be interesting to see.
By the way, Cal football Twitter is a must follow. Just do it. That's all I'll say.
Okay. Sounds good. And, you know, as mentioned, Red River Rivalry. I have to say that slow because I can't say it fast three times.
They screwed up the name.
Yeah, exactly. So you got Arizona at BYU. I mean, that'll be a good game. Arizona is playing good ball right now. BYU is like almost a world beater. So we'll see who blinks in that one. You know, yeah, Bulldog on Bulldog crime, Mississippi State at Georgia. That kicks at 4:15 on the SEC network. Air Force at New Mexico. Dude, like, I just don't think they can turn it around. Like, this is just my honest assessment of their
play. Which one? They're both 1-4.
Exactly. I think New Mexico is the better team. I think New Mexico is the better team. But, like, look, if you're in the Air Force locker room, if you don't get up for a Service Academy rivalry game, if you can't get up for a CIC game, you're definitely not getting up for New Mexico. I think the advantage is New Mexico just because, like, Air Force does not look like they even want to play football this season, to be quite honest. Like, still – They have no FBS wins going back to last season. And, you know, their only win has been FCS, and it wasn't all that pretty. So moving down the line, in the early evening kicks, you got Washington State at Fresno State. That might be interesting. Florida at Tennessee. If they were playing and if they're playing in Jacksonville, I'd be a little bit more concerned for Tennessee, but it's at home. So look for Rocky Top to roll those guys. UTSA at Rice. Again, one of those two teams has got to turn it around. At least somebody can win in this football contest. North Texas versus Florida Atlantic. That's going to be a tough game. Like, if you're an FAU fan, they have got to be able to put something together. You know, North Texas is legit good. They're good everywhere. Like,
FAU is running out of excuses. Like, if that team does have talent, it either shows up or they're dead.
Yeah. Like, because North Texas will hang 60 on them. Like, you know, watch out for that one. Like, if it's going poorly, it's going to be a high scoring game for North Texas. You got number three, Ohio State against Oregon. That's 7:30 on NBC and Peacock. That's just so weird to have, like, Big Ten games on NBC. Like, that just is mind-blowing to me. You got Ole Miss at LSU. Hey, you know, watching freaking Lane Kiffin trying to, you know, get his mojo back at Death Valley, that's going to be a pretty interesting game because, like, LSU at home is always tough for anybody playing down there. You know, I added this one to the slate just because, you know, Vandy beat Bama, and Kentucky is playing good defense. Expect a low-scoring contest. Like, if you're going to bet on that game, take the under because both of those teams are playing pretty decent defense. And, you know, I don't know who to give the nod to in that one. You know, if I had to lean, I'd lean towards Kentucky because Kentucky seems to be a better program and had better competition up to this point. But it could go either way. And then closing out the evening, for those of you that are going to stay up late, you've got Kansas State at Colorado. That's going to be a good game because, like, K-State is good. We're going to see if Colorado is for real, right? Colorado's 4-1 right now. They pulled an upset on UCF, which reset it. But, like, who's going to show up? Like, I think there's no doubt in anybody's mind that, you know, Shedeur Sanders is a great quarterback. However, if they can continue to run the ball like they did against UCF, like, that's a season-changing momentum for the Buffaloes, and we'll see how that goes on Saturday night. And closing out the state is Boise State at Hawaii. You want to stay up late to watch the tailback at Boise State. That guy is electric. He is he certainly is the best running back in college football, and he is probably the sleeper pick for the Heisman Trophy. And thanks for Joe last week noting that guy, because, like, when you go back and watch that dude, you're just like, wow, like, how did I miss this dude for 6 weeks of the football season? So let's move on into our weekly locks.
Weekly locks.
Dano, who are you picking this week?
What, 1-2 last week? Picked Navy at Air Force over 34.5, and that hit pretty easily. But Mizzou got destroyed, and Temple played arguably their best game of the season. So while UConn won, they didn't cover. Frustrating. Brought all my momentum to a halt. So Memphis -6 at USF. We already talked about the messages getting sent in the Air American, looking for the Tigers to fire one, I'm telling you. UAB at Army over 56.5. Same rationale. You know, I don't know that I believe Army's going to pitch a shutout, but I do believe they're going to hang some points. And finally, South Carolina at Alabama over 51. Again, it's all about messages this week. The Tide need to find a way to communicate their quality to the playoff committee. I think we all know what that means.
Yeah, it's fair. Joe, how about you?
Yeah, I went 2-3 last week. TCU looked like a different team than they looked for the first few weeks, and they got rolled. Michigan didn't cover the 3.5 they were getting, and South Carolina let me down as well. So, hey, when I lose big. But I said bet the house on Ohio State to crush Iowa, and they did. I said I'd like the Cyclones to handle Baylor, and they did. So those are my two victories. This week I'm going with a 5-pack. A couple of my surprises, including the first one. I'm taking Arizona State +6 at home against Utah on Friday night. The Sun Devils are 4-1, and they play pretty well at home so far this season. And I just don't trust Utah to cover on the road. Take Party U and the Sun Devils to cover the 6. Pick number 2 is BYU. They're at home, -4 against Arizona, and I think they win by a touchdown. Undefeated and at home against a very beatable Wildcats team. I think they win, like I said, by 7+. Pick number three is Ohio State minus 3.5 at Oregon. I believe
Oregon. You love Ohio State, Joe. Yeah, you've been talking about them all.
That is filthy talk, and I won't have it. I believe Oregon to be slightly overrated, and Ohio State hasn't gotten to prove themselves yet on a national stage. I believe they win by 7 to 10 points, and they're our true number two team in the country behind Texas. Take the Buckeyes to cover. Pick number four is West Virginia plus 3 against Iowa State at home. Okay, this West Virginia team is very tough, and even tougher when they're in their own backyard. I believe Iowa State comes back down to earth a little bit, and West Virginia covers at worst. And then Boise State minus 21 at Hawaii. Boise State is hanging 50 burgers and close to 60s. This Boise State team is rolling. So is Ashton Gente. Get ready for a heavy dose of him, probably 3 to 4 touchdowns from him in the process and a few hundred all-purpose yards. I believe Boise State will have their starters on the bench in the second half against the Rainbow Warriors. It won't be pretty or close. Boise 246-46. That was showing love to the old Dub Bears sketch when they would call the scores of the games. Bears 246-46.
I got two for you, Rob.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll take Pitt at home over Cal to cover. And then the most hilarious game of the week, if you're a sicko, Missouri's got to go to UMass. I was like, oh, my gosh, what a trip for Missouri. So I'll take Missouri big in that one as well.
I almost took them as well. I like that pick.
I wouldn't recommend anybody really watch that game, but I mean,
I just get it and don't watch it. That's fair.
What's the line?
Do
you know what the line is for Mizzou?
27.
No.
It's 27 and a half.
I'll take it blind.
Up in the first quarter.
Blind.
I'll tell you. That's like a 49-3 score.
Yeah.
That's if Mizzou shuts it down third quarter.
Yeah. Like, pray for window dressing if you're a UConn fan, I guess. All right. So I'm 8-6. I went 2-1 last week. I said take the under of Pitt and UNC. That they hit 58. Take Wake to cover 6.5 against NC State. They won by 4. And unfortunately, freaking Grayson McCall got carted out on a stretcher after that, which is unfortunate.
Like, that's awful.
That kid, man, like, he is turning into the Troy Aikman of college football, man. He has been getting blasted quite a bit.
For the wrong reasons, too.
Yeah, for sure. And I feel bad for him because, like, his season got cut short last year because of a serious head injury, and it looks like he's got another serious injury this season. You know, we like to see guys, if they're going to lose, they lose on the field, not because they got carted off to the locker room. And I think that that's fair for most athletes. We want to see them perform as well as they did. I said take Uga and Auburn to hit over 45. They scored 44 points. You know, yeah, 40. Yeah, that sucked. I seriously thought that they would be much better. But, you know, Uga's offense is not as prolific as it has been in the previous seasons. And, you know, Auburn's usually good for 14 to 17 points. They didn't score near enough points to freaking hit it. So I am disappointed in that one. However, this week I'm taking Memphis to cover, or Memphis and USF to hit under 62.5. I think Memphis is good.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I think USF.
Under?
Under, yeah, for sure, man. Like, there's going to be some defense played. Like, USF tends to contain their opponents in the first half, and then the second half it kind of gets out of hand. So, like, expect a big second half for Memphis, but not enough to push it into 62 points.
Okay.
I said take South Carolina to cover 21.5. I'm going against you there, Dano, because I think South Carolina will have a little bit something for Bama. I'm concerned.
Incredible pick.
My only concern.
I am concerned with Bama's offense because against SEC competition, they haven't been as good. So that's my only going in. That's my assessment of the Bama team.
Now listen, if you'd said I'm concerned about Bama's rushing defense, you would have had me. But I thought their offense looked okay against Georgia. But all right, we'll table this and we'll come back to this next week.
We'll revisit this next week. Take Georgia Tech to cover. Minus 5.5 against UNC. Tar Heels are bad this year. I think the Yellow Jackets will win that one upright for sure. If not, field goal or less, which is probably the reality. But I think the Yellow Jackets will take them home. And then finally, you know, as much as I like Army to roll over UAB, I'm hoping. I think it'll be a similar score of like something like 42 to 7. You know, I think Army will score a lot of points, but it won't crest over 55.5. I think there may be some window dressing. That said, I am perfectly okay with losing out on this one. So if like Coach Monken like blows them out and hangs like 100 at Mikey Stadium, I'm not going to be disappointed. So this is kind of like a bonus bet because like I really don't care what the outcome is, but the reality of it is I think it's within the realm of the possible for them to hit 55, but I think it'll be more like 52 points total for the game. And we're at the end of the show. Like we had a great guest again. Thanks, Mark, for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, guess what, guys? If your team is undefeated or 5-1, they are playing for bowl contention this week. Like there are some teams that could get bowl eligible in week 6 of college football. And like it's odd discussion for some teams because you're not used to seeing that because it's so early in the year. Like usually like you're biting your nails off, you know, come November because you're hoping that your team can scrap together enough wins to get over the hump. And hopefully like the NC2A will allow you to get that that trick play of that extra FCS team that you picked up because somebody dropped out of your schedule at the last minute. You know, they'll give you the waiver so you can go to a bowl. I mean, that was our experience last year for Army. And I know that was an experience for a lot of the teams last season, you know, trying to figure out like, hey, there's like 9,000 bowl games. Can a 6-6 team with 2 FCS wins get in? And the answer is absolutely not. We'll take a 5-6 FBS winning team and put them in a bowl game, which still
gross.
You know, makes me scratch my head. Where's the time gone? We are in week 7. Thanks again, Mark, for coming on the show. However, I would be remiss if I do not highlight this. So if you're looking at my screen right now, you see it in fact.
All right, good, guys.
And if you didn't know this, and as an Army football, you know, as an Army Sprint football alum, I have to bring this up because this past Friday, the Army Sprint football team beat Navy 17-3. And saying second. So for those of you guys that are Army football fans, if you are in the area and you get an opportunity to check out Army or Navy play in the in the Sprint football, go watch it because Sprint football is one of the most tremendous things that you can watch on the East Coast. It's a great opportunity if you get a chance to watch the game. And a lot of unsung heroes still wanting to continue their college football experience playing Sprint football because hey, that's where they landed instead of on one of the other teams. But for the crew here at Ask for Football, we want to thank you guys for joining us again at the College Football Roundtable. I'm your host, Rob, the Angry Colonel, calling out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. We've got Dano Icabesa out of Coastal Connecticut. We got Trigger Joe from the home of the Big House, and Mark the Mitty Witty joins us again to talk Navy football. We really appreciate you guys, and we'll talk to you guys next week. And as always, beat Navy.
He knew it was coming.
I guess.
Right. Good night.
Thanks for joining us on the Ask for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/askforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extras. Thanks for being a part of the Ask for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.